This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. 22-year-old Stephon Clark of Sacramento, California, was shot and killed by police on March 23, 2018. The NAACP has said that a wake is set from 2 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, March 28th, at Bayside of South Sacramento Church. The NAACP and the National Action Network have also announced that a two-hour funeral for Stephon Clark is set to begin at 11 a.m. on Thursday, March 29th, also at Bayside of South Sacramento Church. The Reverend Al Sharpton, president of the National Action Network, is set to speak along with other clergy. The father of two was shot 20 times by two Sacramento police officers while in the backyard of his grandparents' home, where he had been staying. He was carrying a cell phone, not a gun. Let us go to a clip now from NBC.
Anger over the deadly police shooting of an unarmed black man in Sacramento is intensifying. Hundreds of protesters blocked fans from entering a Sacramento Kings basketball game last night. They also temporarily shut down a public meeting with city leaders. It was held to discuss Stephon Clark's death 10 days ago. John Blackstone is outside City Hall with the latest on this story. John, good morning.
Good morning. Well, the mayor was forced to end the meeting early out of safety concerns when it turned into a shouting match. The police department here has invited the California Department of Justice to oversee its investigation into Clark's shooting death, but that appears to have done little to ease the city's tensions.
Stephonte Clark led protesters in a chant of his brother Stephon's name just minutes into the Sacramento City Council's public meeting about the 22-year-old's shooting death on March 18th. Like many here, he called for an end to police violence.
It has to stop. It has to stop.
Good.
Stephon Clark was shot at 20 times in his grandmother's backyard after police mistook the cell phone he was holding for a gun.
Does this look, as you point this to our council, does this look like a gun?
The meeting's overflow crowd marched to the NBA arena where the Sacramento Kings were playing. They blocked all entrances for the second time in less than a week.
I feel powerful. I feel like we're actually doing something in this community positive.
I think we're going to grow from this event, and that's what matters.
Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn says his department is continuing its own investigation into the shooting and looking into whether officers acted improperly when they muted the audio on their body cams shortly after shooting Clark. He says the department does have a policy where officers are allowed to mute their cameras in certain situations. Still,
regardless of whether they were within policy or not, if you're already somebody in our community that didn't trust the police department, you're probably going to think, well, there's something shady about what they're doing. And that hurts us.
Right or wrong, muting it didn't help the situation.
It did not, correct.
More body cam videos are set to be released. Those were shot by officers who arrived at the scene after the shooting. Now, it's unclear when those will be released or whether they will contain the audio that was muted on the other cameras. Meanwhile, Black Lives Matter has announced that they are planning protests every day through Clark's funeral, which is set for Thursday.
And now let's just hear a brief clip of NBA basketball players speaking out about Stephon Clark's shooting.
These tragedies have to stop.
There must be accountability.
Black, white,
brown.
We are one.
We are one.
One.
We will not stick to sports.
We will not shut up and dribble.
This is bigger than basketball.
Change can be uncomfortable.
Change is necessary. We need to talk.
We need to act.
We matter.
We must unite.
Say his name.
Stephon Clark.
Stephon Clark. We must unite.
All righty, and NBA players there speaking out. Now, hundreds of protesters, as you heard in the clip, took over the lobby of City Hall in Sacramento during a city council meeting. And also on Tuesday night, protesters again blocked fans from entering the Golden One Center for an NBA game downtown between the Sacramento Kings and the Dallas Maverick. Okay, so I'd like to welcome Sonia Lewis, who is with Black Lives Matter Sacramento. Sonia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Okay, Sonia. So the protests seem to be stepping up, and we'll get your view on that. But also fill us in on any specific demands from Black Lives Matter or other protesters.
Wonderful. What we are demanding from the city is first that there's accountability in the line of firing the officers that were involved. It's unfortunate that we are at this crossroads again. However, we know that taxpayer dollars are valuable. We know that the voice of the people is valuable. And the first thing that we need the department to do is say that enough is enough. They agree that enough is enough and that they're firing those officers. So that's our first demand. Our second demand is that there is an independent from an outside agency not associated with the police department. So we're not talking about attorney generals. We're not talking about the California Department of Justice coming in and doing these investigations. We're talking about an outside, unbiased agency coming in to do an investigation.
Right. And with that outside, unbiased agency, are you talking about including community members or civil rights organizations, or you haven't gotten that
Absolutely.
Far into the discussion yet?
No, that is definitely what the requirements are for that investigation. We feel that the power of the people is extremely important. We are intelligent enough as a community all around this country to look at and dissect this information respectfully and be able to come back with a wonderful conclusion as to what the outcome should be. So we should be able to turn over this information to the people and let them come back with a response. Black Lives Matter Sacramento has been working for over 3 years now with creating alternatives to police. And part of our work is requesting that our city council have an outside agency, a community commission that will address these kind of things. But it has no power at the moment. They've given us a community commission, but it has no power. So we're looking to beef that up and make sure that there's more power given to the people.
Right. And we know that for years. I mean, I recall several years ago, now the late Michael Zinzin in Los Angeles fighting for a community board, a police board that would be able to
right.
hold police officers accountable. But we really haven't seen that kind of thing established or certainly be given any power, even if a board, as you say, a community commission has been set up. What about this turning off of the body cam that apparently happened during this shooting?
Right. Again, unfortunate. Our department is showing us its face and its true colors. While the chief of police says that it within their policy at certain periods during investigations that it is allowed for officers to mute their body cameras, that just lends to the non-transparency that we are seeking, that leads to the non-transparency that he is claiming he wants to bring to the community. If you already distrust the police and what they're doing, why would you add fuel to the fire by muting your body cam? At the end of the day, when you think about that aspect of it in and of itself, there's something that is being hidden. And we have to look at that and address it head on rather than hiding it and pretending that these problems don't exist.
Yeah. And what about some of the family members have raised of Stephon Clark, this business about police being trained to shoot to kill as
Absolutely.
Opposed to, you know, disarming in some other way?
Yes, absolutely. And we, like I said, we've been going back and forth with this, with our city council. We've been going back and forth with the mayor, with the police department in regards to how do we de-escalate rather than escalate situations. If you had two officers on the ground looking for a suspect and you had a sheriff helicopter in the air pointing them in the direction of where the suspect is, one thing we know for sure is that the helicopter has a very bright light on it. And one thing you didn't see in the video was assistance from that helicopter and sending those officers into a blind, dark backyard. So we have to talk about those kind of things.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that we, find ourselves with two seemingly inexperienced officers who made a reckless and inappropriate decision. Because at the end of the day, that's what transpired. They could have waited for backup. We're talking about property damage. We're not talking about someone that they were being shot at. We're talking about property damage. And so if we're talking about something that potentially could have been a misdemeanor crime, why shoot?
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, clearly a property damage is not a death sentence. It shouldn't,
right.
Doesn't bring the death penalty. But, you know, this isn't the first
Absolutely.
Instance that we have seen of police officers allegedly mistaking a cell phone for a gun.
No.
Right? Yeah.
You know, in looking at the video, I know that the family, I'm a personal extended member of the family.
Uh-huh.
And they can't even get to a point of looking at the video. At the end of the day, to them, it's pointless to even look at the video because the evidence is clear that one, it was excessive. Two, it was overkill. And three, you didn't have a weapon.
Yeah.
So when you look at those three things together, you have a rush to judgment. You know, show me your hands, and then it was gun, 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 and the shots were being fired simultaneously.
Yeah.
That's disheartening to me as a mother. I have six boys. It's extremely disheartening that the slightest move we make, no matter how much we prepare and talk to our children, the slightest move we make can get you dead, you know?
That's right.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah, well, our guest is Sonia Lewis of Black Lives Matter Sacramento, and we are discussing the latest shooting that has taken place there, police killing of 22-year-old Black youth, Stephon Clark. And I'll have to say, for all of us here at Sojourner Truth, Sonia, we are very sorry for your loss as a family member in your extended family and also to Stephon's family. And what you said about, you know, because I'm a mother. I have a daughter who is a Black. We are of Afro-Caribbean descent. But,
right.
You know, you do worry every time your children leave the house, basically,
Absolutely.
Whether they're going to come back alive. And you think of Tamir Rice, for example, and what
right.
happened with him and how rapidly he was killed. But the other thing also is just yesterday, I think it was yesterday, that the attorney general in Louisiana said that Alton Sterling, who's, again, the video went viral on that. There were national protests when he was
right.
killed by police officers. And now the two white police officers who killed Alton Sterling will not be charged. So put this
right.
in the broader national context for us, because frankly speaking, just as a Black mom myself, you get really, it's like, here we go again. You get sick and tired of seeing unarmed Black, you know, youth, Black people being killed, and then there's no accountability. Sonia.
Absolutely. And I think that is an outcry nationwide and even worldwide to a certain degree. But definitely here in America, we have a problem with law enforcement policing Black bodies. And that's a different system because we live in two different Americas. There are a separate set of rules for Black folks in America. And you know, respectfully, it doesn't matter if you are African-American descent and your ancestry were slaves that came to this country, or Afro-Caribbean like yourself, or a more recent immigrant from Africa. Our policing system sees Black skin, Black bodies as less valuable. And that is culturally and historically embedded in our law enforcement system. You know, here in America, our law enforcement system from the beginning of its inception was slave patrol. And so we have to really delve into that and have a conversation about race, because we know that every move they make, every police bill of rights, every police union, they are based on that foundation. that we have the power and that there's nothing anyone else can, you know, say or do to stop us from working under the auspice of protecting and serving. But at the end of the day, their life is more important than our life. So if they feel threatened, regardless if there's a threat or not, they can always fall back on, I was afraid. I feared for my life, because that's the guise that protects them.
That's right. And also looking at this movement now of young people, we saw that on March 24th with the March mm-hmm. for Our Lives. And likely the estimates are around 2 million people or more, you know, marching against gun violence. And yesterday in our show, we heard the speech by the 11-year-old girl from Virginia talking about a double standard, really, when it comes to the lives of, you know, Black women and girls. And right. I wonder how you see, you know, the relationship between these kinds of protests, the Black Lives Matter protests against police violence, and people who are talking about gun violence in March for Our Lives.
Absolutely. I definitely personally see that there's a correlation. However, I don't think that our government, I know for sure that our government is separating the two. They are not even considering state-sanctioned violence, because that's what police brutality is, excessive force, murder by cop. That's state-sanctioned. The state has given permission to officers to shoot at will based on what they assess when they arrive on the scene. Conversely, when you have violence by the community on the community, and then addressing the issue of gun violence and safety. I think that people are not looking at the correlations and how they're definitely interwoven and connected. I am extremely proud of our youth here in Sacramento in particular, because this has organically grown out of their voice. This has organically become their fight. And I'm extremely proud of the foundation that we've laid here in Sacramento. It's been a 4-year, you know, fight since we've been a chapter with Black Lives Matter Sacramento. But to now see the younger generation take that that light and go forward, similarly with the March for Our Lives, seeing young people all across this nation. Unfortunately, I wish that we had the numbers behind us when we talk about police state-sanctioned violence, that the outcry has been given to those individuals marching for March for Our Lives.
Yeah, and I just wanted to ask about that as well. You know, yesterday on our show, we spoke with someone from Dream Defenders in Florida, and they were talking about how some of the Parkland students, students in Parkland, Florida, mm-hmm. whose school, of course, that horrific massacre took place, had some of them at least had come out in support of the work of their work and of Black Lives Matter and police shootings, you know, that sort of thing. And that was work that was going to continue, because you're absolutely right. I mean, the numbers of people that of young people and high school students that you saw coming out, as you say, were far greater, right? Around March for Our Lives, and not specifically in this situation. And that tells us something, right?
Absolutely.
But it also tells us about the work that really needs to be done here. So I wonder some final thoughts from you, and also just the reaction. I mean, the Alton Sterling thing was just, I mean, it's like person after person after person after person, and you see police officers basically getting away with murder.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The data is there. The numbers and the statistics are there. I think I looked at some statistics yesterday as I was preparing for another interview. 50 individuals have been murdered by mass shooting. 253 have been murdered by cop this year, 2018. We are into the middle of March. Mm. So we're less than 90 days in to 2018, and you have 253 killings by cop in this country.
Wow.
So, think, you know, we think about that in perspective. You had, you know, millions of people come out for March for Your Life. And every time we have an event, we can sometimes barely get 100. You know, with the murder of Stephon Clark in our recent protests, we've had numbers. And those numbers have been so effective so that people in the city are now uncomfortable every time that there is a protest, because we're making sure that we are leaving an impression upon the minds of people in the city who sometimes just go about their daily business and go to Kings games, right? Pay our money. We have the privilege of, and sometimes we feel uncomfortable because that privilege has been taken away from us. But Stephon and his children can't get that privilege back. And that's what we want people to realize. When I think about Alton Sterling, it's the same story every time. The officers get off. We often chant during our protest, same story every time, being Black is not a crime. And we say being Black is not a crime, but the reality, it is. And every time this happens, they get off. And that's what we have to change. We have to change that paradigm. And in changing that paradigm, you have to go after DAs who investigate these incidences. You have to go after police unions. You have to go after police Bill of Rights in whatever states that these things are transpiring in, because that's where the power of the police department and gives them discretion to use excuses for these kind of killings.
Yeah. And just finally, just in terms of how the family members are doing, I mean, the nation saw the heartbreak of Stephon's
right.
grandmother. And yeah. what a lot of people really don't get is that when you're a family member and this kind of thing happens, you know, yeah. the heartbreak, the emotional toll, I'm thinking of the police beating, not the death. He fought back, which likely saved his life, of Tyree Carroll by 26 police officers in mm-hmm. Philadelphia, because he was riding his bike the wrong way on his grandmother's street, right?
Yeah.
And the Tyree's grandmother, Nancy Carroll, her health went downhill from that. And Nancy yeah. Carroll recently died, you know, last month. Really sad. But also, wow. it has an emotional impact and a physical, mental impact of the wider community as well. It creates a kind of a PTSD, and your heart hurts, and yeah, the lump gets in your throat, as is in mine right now. I mean, it really yeah. has that immediate impact on folks.
It does. You know, Joy DeGruy, author, post-traumatic slave syndrome, speaks directly to that in regards to what we experience as trauma based on the things that are coming to us in our lifetimes. And that's a reality. You know, I didn't realize that the grandmother of the gentleman in Philadelphia had recently died, but I think about the young woman, the daughter of Eric Garner, who died.
Oh, yes,
you know,
Erica.
Last year. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. When you think about that trauma, it shortens our lives.
It does.
And we have to address those kind of issues. Right now, Grandma is extremely grieving. She's trying to keep busy. She doesn't want to, you know, be in the front of the media and be a public spectacle, I heard her say. I don't want this to be a circus. Whereas his brother is grieving in a different kind of way. This is a young man that is experiencing the pain of trauma. And every time he's in the public eye, he's seeking the attention of the public because he wants them to have an outcry just like he's outcrying. Whereas their mom is in a completely different phase of trauma and mourning, right? So
yeah.
we can't predict what mourning looks like. We can't say that everyone is going to mourn in the same process, but it is a process. And we have to get to that place of being not comfortable, because I don't think anyone who's lost a child is ever going to be comfortable with that reality, but being okay to continue living.
Right. Well, on that note, Sonia Lewis, we're going to have to leave it there. But Sonia, for people who want to support the efforts of Black Lives Matter, Sacramento, and your work, what should they do?
They should definitely visit our Facebook page. It is extremely active. We have a link on there for individuals who may want to make a monetary donation. There are always events going on where they can join various actions. For those individuals who can't get out in the street and pound the pavement like we do, you know, my 47-year-old body is out there marching. My 47-year-old body, along with my children and my family, my husband, we get out there and we make sure that we are present. They can do those things as well. But yeah. We often have wish lists for various events that people can make purchases for us. We have letter writing campaigns, phone calling campaigns. There are lots of things that we're doing on the ground. We have about 13 people that we're fighting for right now. And so we lift those names constantly, and we're constantly in the public eye making sure that their stories don't go unheard as well or get forgotten.
Right. Well, Sonia Lewis, thank you for that. And we want to thank Black Lives Matter Los Angeles for partnering with us for our weekly series, Campaigners for Black Lives. And we Absolutely. Here at Sojourner Truth will say his name, Stephon Clark. Thank
Stephon
you.
Stephon Clark.